Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. Now, if you've ever been to The View in our New York City studio in the last 5 years, you've met our amazing and hilarious warm-up comedian, Regina DeChico. As she says, she's our studio audience's tour guide through live tapings of The View every day. She's here with me today to share a little insight behind her job and to tell us some of her favorite celebrity interactions. This is Behind the Table. All right, this is very exciting because I sometimes kind of feel like I'm in the ringmaster seat at the circus, and right alongside me is our guest, Regina DeChico. Regina is a stand-up comic in general, but our warm-up comic, and it's a tough job. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's...
I would agree with that, Brian. Yeah. And I would say I love being that person with you because it is my favorite thing sometimes. You listen to the ladies talk, and then I'll be like, oh, and I'll just take a peek at Brian to see what he's doing at the podium. And I think my favorite is, I'm like, well, his head is down. He's no longer watching the show. Yeah. He's given up. He's lost.
It happens occasionally. It happens occasionally where they break me, but I really, I appreciate you because when things are happening, I have complete faith that you're dealing with the audience because it's really, there's two shows going on. There's the show that's going on for the people at home and there's a show that's going on in that room and people have been waiting online and they've come in and it's important that they feel like they're having an entertaining experience throughout the entire, it's more than an hour for them.
Right.
So it's a combination of interacting with the hosts, which you oversee, and it's a combination of watching the actual show, and then it's a combination of you entertaining the audience during the stop downs and the changes and all the craziness that comes along with putting on a different live show every single day.
Right. No, and to your point, I think people come in and it's like, well, this is my bucket list item, or I'm in New York for the first time. So they're so excited. Or it's my birthday, which is a really big, we do a lot of birthdays, Brian.
We do. Birthdays, anniversaries.
Right. Well, take it all. I'll take any kind of anniversary. We're happy to celebrate you. So it's definitely like always trying to keep the audience really upbeat. But what's hard about our show and what's great about our show is we cover everything. So a lot of times there's a real energy shift with the topics that we cover. So I think it's hard to navigate that too, because obviously the hosts are living in the real world, living with the real headlines, and they're affected by it. But then someone comes in and this is like their lifelong dream to be at The View. And it's like, well, we've got to keep you excited. We've got to keep this in check. So I have on occasion told the audience it is an emotional roller coaster.
I think that's accurate. It's certainly accurate for me. Yeah. All right. So this job is kind of a full circle for you because you have a long history with Whoopi Goldberg. And one of your first jobs was working with Whoopi on her 2003 sitcom titled Whoopi. Tell me what you remember from that.
Well, I remember just meeting Whoopi and thinking, like, Whoopi is exactly who I thought Whoopi would be, which is amazing. And that doesn't happen with celebrities all the time.
But 100% accurate.
Yes.
She's Whoopi.
Yes, she's Whoopi. And she was so great because my parents would come a lot. And anytime they came, she'd be like, oh, make sure your mom comes back to the dressing room. And I remember saying to her, like, it meant so much to me that she would do that. And she gets such a good read on people, Whoopi. And she said to me, she was like, oh, your mother is like everybody's mother. Like, just bring her back. And that is who my mom is. But I'm like, how does Whoopi know that?
She's very intuitive.
She's so intuitive. She really, really reads people. So, like, that was unbelievable to have that with her in 2003. And then, like, I wasn't doing stand-up at that point. I started doing stand-up later, and people would always be like, oh, did you reach out to Whoopi? And I'd say, why? I've been doing stand-up for 5 minutes. You know, what would be the point? And then, of course, time goes by, and then I know I'm coming in to audition for this show. And Whoopi and her producing partner, Tom, I emailed Tom just to say, I'm going to go to The View tomorrow to audition. And he wrote back right away, we loved you. We always loved you. Like, I'll see what we can do. And that was... yeah, a long time after.
Well, you and Alyssa have this in common because the two of you have gone through the audition process at The View. I mean, what was that process like for you? Was it fun? Was it strenuous?
It's so funny. I had never done warm-up before, so I was a little nervous. I remember, like, having my pre-calls and saying, oh, I never did it before. But I felt like I stepped into a job where all of a sudden, as I was doing it, I thought, I understand what this is.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever had that happen, where you've never done something and you start to do it and you realize, oh, wait, I get this. And then I went from just wanting to see how it went to being like, I want this job so bad. How do I get this job? And then I auditioned for like the first time in September for 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then I would like come back for a week at a time. And I remember I did the Halloween show that first year as I was auditioning. Yeah. And the crew kept being like, Regina, this is big. This if they're trusting you with Halloween, this is the longest, hardest day of the year for you. So they said if they trust me with Halloween, and then it just kept going. But I was like, I want this so bad. And then finally, I got it.
You got it, and you deserved it, and you were wonderful. But because it's a big lift for somebody to, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of confidence in those people. I mean, you're looking for questions, and you got to make sure the questions are appropriate, and you got to make sure that the tone is appropriate, mm-hmm. and everything else. There's a lot of minds.
There's a lot of moving pieces, yeah. And it's trying to like sort of keep my eye on the ladies, keep my eye on the audience, mm-hmm. see, you know, what's going on, how much time is there,
yeah.
And then just like running around, I get all my steps in, Brian, running around the studio.
Before you did all this, one of your first jobs was Saturday Night Live. Did that start your love for live TV?
Yes, I think. And I feel like you would know this too. People yeah. love or hate live television.
Yes.
Like it speaks to you or it's terrifying. And I'm like, no, I love it. Bring it on. And even at SNL, I was there during the Ashley Simpson mm-hmm. debacle, the lip sync debacle. And honestly, in a crazy
pieces
way, Brian,
yeah.
It's all I wanted was to have one of those moments that could only happen on live television.
Oh, yeah. I've had a few of those.
It's a little
be
different.
Be careful what you wish for, Regina.
But there it was like to be a part of that. But I love live TV. I love running around. I love thinking like we have to beat the clock like that. The energy that we have to start at 11
yeah.
and it has to be over at 12. I like that, too. When it's over for me anyway.
No, for me, too. And the adrenaline. Well, there's aftermath occasionally, but the adrenaline of the live show is something I really, really
yes,
enjoy.
And, I agree.
And would miss if I didn't have mm-hmm. it, I think. And with the audience and everything else,
right.
there, too.
The energy.
And, yeah. And but it is precarious. I remember my very first day here at The View, I misjudged the timing of the show, and not just me, but me and the other execs, and we ended up not having an end of the show, an act six, and Whoopi said goodbye, and it never aired because we just ran out of time and the news started, and that was a big learning curve for me, because everything I'd done before that was taped.
That's funny.
Do you feel like the audience understands your job at The View? Like when you're here, do they know exactly what you're doing?
It's funny because I don't think that they do because, I know they love me and they have fun with me. And
they
a
do.
Lot
they're
of times
they're very devoted.
They're
to
very
you.
Devoted. But though, you know, someone will say after, oh, my goodness, Regina, did you ever think of doing comedy? You should be a comedian. And what's great is if they say it with earshot of a crew member, uh-huh. they'll double down and be like, Regina, you should.
You should.
Regina, you should.
Try open mic night. Yeah.
You should do it. And there was this woman the other day who she called me over and said, did I ever do stand up? And I said, oh, that's what I was doing right now. And then she said, no, professionally. And
then, like you wandered in.
I said, there was a time when I thought The View was professional, but you're right. And she kept apologizing profusely, but I said, no, I love it. They get excited and they love it. And it's really sweet to me that then they want me to be doing it more. And then I'm like, no, this is sort of one of the best jobs a stand-up comedian can have.
It's
really unbelievable.
Steady work.
Yes. Which is so hard in this industry. So
tell me about your favorite days at The View.
Oh, well, this is funny because it almost loops back around to you a little bit. One of my absolute favorite days was the day that we had David Letterman on.
Oh, that was one of my favorite days, too.
And we did, I think it was three segments and it was a post-tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was just doing my normal thing and I'm talking to the audience and these people had said they're from Norway and we're making all these jokes. And in my peripheral vision, I see that David Letterman had raised his hand. So I remember I called on him and I was like, oh, Mr. Letterman, Dave, Mr. Letterman. He was like, yeah. And he jumped in on the bit with like Norway and where they invented the paperclip. And then in my mind, I'm like, am I joking around with David Letterman? And then because it's going so well, Whoopi jumped in and then Joy jumped in. And it was so surreal. And it's the kind of moment I never thought about when I got the job. I never thought something like that could happen. And it was so magical, just comedically, that it was honestly still one of my favorite days.
Yeah, I mean, Dave is who I worked for. And the reason I wanted to be in television mm-hmm. was I loved him and wanted to. That was my dream job for me. That was playing shortstop for the Yankees.
Yes.
And anytime I was able to make him laugh genuinely mm-hmm. or anytime I gave a line that got used or it's just the best days and still to this day. So
yes.
I get that. And to you definitely pinch me moments that you have.
Oh, it was so wild. And I'm like, are we joking? And it was like the silliest conversation too.
Right.
But he was like, yeah, so committed to the bit. And then when the ladies got involved, I'm like, this is so crazy. But I'm like, he's raising his hand. I'm like, he's trying to get my attention. David Letterman wants my attention.
A couple of weeks ago, we showed some of the Q&A that we do on the commercial breaks here on the podcast and really got a great response to it. I think it's not an overstatement to say that the show in theater, in studio, is almost as good as the show at home, maybe better in some ways. I definitely recommend anybody who hasn't been, and if you're able to try and come and get tickets, you definitely should.
No, it's fine. And there's a freedom during the commercial breaks that doesn't, you know, it can't exist sort of on air.
Yes, unless I'm taping it for the podcast, you know, which we're doing again soon. So on the flip side of your best days, tell me about this, because we talk about some very intense topics too, and your job is to keep the audience engaged and excited, like you said. How do you do when we're talking about something very heated or unfortunately very tragic from time to time?
Sort of like I was saying before, I really try to be honest. Like I don't want to sugarcoat it. I can't act like I don't know the news either.
Right.
You know, so it's just that sort of thing of like, I don't act like I don't know what's going on. So it's like, I'm going to be honest with the people. And then that's sort of like, I feel like honesty is really the approach.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm the warm-up comedian and I'm definitely here to entertain you. But at the same time, I have feelings and I see what's going on and we're in this together.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just like, I want everyone to feel like, no, we're super inclusive. We're taking it all in. And that's why people love The View too.
Yeah. One of the cool things about being in the audience on any given day is you sometimes have the opportunity to interact with celebrities.
Yes.
Have you found that, like, what's been a fun audience interaction with the celebrity guests?
Well, I'll say, and this is funny, because, I mean, celebrity, but also there's been a lot of political figures here, too, which has been great. And it's almost like celebrity political figures. But when Hillary Clinton was on a couple years ago, you know, I had this image of her. This was how she was presented to us. And she was so fun. Hillary Clinton. And there was somebody in the audience that, and this was a young girl, and she said, I didn't go to class today because I wanted to be here, you know, to see Hillary Clinton. So during a commercial break, I wound up telling Hillary Clinton that, you know, this little girl, Grace, you know, she didn't go to class because she wanted to be here to see you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I see, you know, Hillary calls something over. She's writing something down. She wrote a note excusing Grace from class saying, she was like, well, Grace had to be with me at The View. Hillary, Rodham Clinton. And then put the date. And I thought, oh, my, like nobody prompted her. It was just her. And it was the funniest thing. And then I gave the note. I mean, she was probably a college student. I shouldn't say little girl, but it was so funny and playful to me. And I think that's what I love too. Like so many people, they're just open to it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, Hillary Clinton is so fun. Does everybody realize that?
No, I think the answer is no, but you're absolutely right. And she was on the show just last week and was a lot of fun there too.
Yes. No, she's great.
Now during the pandemic, so you and I went through this nightmare of a thing together, doing the show during a pandemic. Often I was the only one in the studio or me and one of our senior producers, Audrey, and the control room was here and some of the crew was here, but the hosts were all home and the audience was not there. It was a virtual audience.
Yes.
I cannot tell you how important the audience is to this show, and it was important to have a virtual audience too. You had a very specific bond with the group. Explain exactly your rapport with the Zoom audience. We often had the same Zoom audience every day. Tell me about it.
Well, we started early because we had to like pre-tape those shots. So I wound up being with our audience from 9:45 until 12. So longer than in person.
Yes.
And we would watch The View sort of like, it became like a watch party.
Uh-huh.
But what wound up happening, sort of what I do here is like everyone was sort of, you didn't realize how lonely people were. If like people were sick or they had to be isolated. Or so all of a sudden it was all these people that were just looking towards this Zoom audience, hashtag Zoom with The View, Brian. It got very big during the pandemic. So they would come in and I would literally let everybody talk and we would laugh, but people would cry. Mm-hmm. We would go through things together, like who would be looking for a job or graduating. Or so this went on like every day. They even made their own merch, where I literally have mugs with like the faces of all the Zoom boxes from the audience on them. But what was funny was I was doing this from my apartment. So my husband and I, it's a one bedroom apartment, which meant he was literally just on the other side of the door. So I would finish sometimes. And I'd be like, John, you'd never believe what happened today. He's like, I know, I can hear everything. And he'd be like, Terry got a new job. Ryan graduated. What did Sean wind up having for breakfast? You know, so I think my husband was the happiest when the Zoom ended, but it was amazing to get to connect. Cause I think, you know, you didn't realize too, we were all lonely. yearning for that. And then I think for a lot of people, it was like, oh, I have to go see my friends every morning. And they love talking about The View. And that's when I realized people don't just watch The View. They're invested in it. They're learning from it. And that's what was great, too. Like, everybody having discoveries, talking to people with different opinions.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is exactly what the show is. And we were able to kind of do it every day. So they were an amazing audience for me. It definitely was a mutual connection.
I've seen the occasional reunion when they've actually come here now.
Yes.
And meet you in person. Yes. For the first time. It's very emotional.
No, it's fun. And some of them have come and they've put their, we used to put their initials on the Zoom box.
Yeah.
Some of them have come and put their initials on an index card and like held it up next to their face to be like, it's me, RZ from that. So it's, I mean, it's very cute. It was a while. I'm so grateful for it. And They would ask Brian, sometimes they'd say, Regina, what do you like better? Do you like doing The View in the studio or you like doing this view from home? And I would turn my camera so they could see my bed. And I'm like, do you see Whoopi Goldberg sitting in my room? As much as I love all of you, please take me back to the studio.
At some point, we need to talk more about this on the podcast, what the View Zoom era was like.
Yes.
Because it was very chaotic, obviously. And I'm very proud of what we were able to figure out how to do and accomplish. And we never missed a show.
No.
And we got through it. But I can't tell you how happy I was to, A, have the host back.
Yes.
In studio. And then to B, to have an audience back there again.
No, it's so true.
And then to have a full audience.
Yes.
And then to have an audience without masks on. It's,
no, it's so true. Even thinking about, we were wearing masks last time this year.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And it's the energy that the audience brings to the show is so important. The hosts feed off of it.
Mm-hmm.
You feed off of it.
Right, of course.
I feed off of it.
Yes.
It's really terrific. And I'm very grateful for it. So I'm happy to have everyone back.
Me too.
All right. So not only are you just with us in the mornings, but you perform stand-up almost four nights a week in New
Yes.
York City. Do they ever come see you? Does the View audience come and experience the professional Regina?
They do. And Brian, sometimes they'll come the same day.
Oh.
So they'll see me in the morning because they're in town for a limited time. And then they'll come at night. And I've often said to them, like, I've spent more time today with you than my husband. Because they're not. It almost, I'm like, are you sure this isn't too much, Regina? And they're like, no, no, they love it.
You can't use the same material twice.
No.
That's problematic.
And it looks good.
Yeah,
but it's fine. It means so much to me. I think it's so sweet and such a giant compliment. But they do come a lot, which is great.
That's awesome. And
yeah.
I want to, before we go, I want to thank you for the Brian Tedder moment I get when I walk out every day.
Oh, of course.
It's,
listen,
you know,
the Bry guys are taking off. If you haven't heard,
yeah.
Brian's fans are the Bry guys.
The Bry guys, it's a movement. It's happening. And I think you all need to really just embrace it.
Right. Otherwise, we're forcing it upon you.
Hashtag Bry guys. Oh, I also have to talk about the fact that going back to the Zoom audience, Jennifer Lopez's mother, Lupe Lopez, frequent View audience member,
yes.
Once joined the Zoom?
She did. She joined the Zoom for Whoopi's birthday. And what was so funny was, well, one, it was wild. And people on the Zoom loved interacting with her.
Of course.
And, you know, I said to her after we did the audience shots, I was like, oh, Lupe, you don't have to stay. And she was like, oh, no, I'm going to stay. So not only did she stay the entire time, at one point she lost power to her computer. So she had to move rooms. So we were literally traveling around Lupe's apartment. And then somebody from the audience said, well, no offense, Ms. Lopez, but don't you think Jennifer could get you a better charger? So, but she stayed the whole and she was sharing with everybody, talking about herself. And I thought, like, what an amazing Lupe moment. So the audience
she
was
loves
obsessed.
The show.
Lupe does love the show. And the fact that she spent the whole time on Zoom, moved rooms, changed computers, got a different cord. I was like, oh, there's nobody better.
We do get the occasional celebrity member in the audience. And often a celebrity mom, I think, is
yes.
a big. I remember we had Michael J. Fox's mother
mm-hmm.
once. It's definitely a thing. Every celebrity's mom loves The View. So.
No, they do. They do.
Go. All right. Well, listen, I am so appreciative of having you here with me. This is great. And appreciate our audience. If you haven't been here, please come and visit us. Regina, follow her on her Instagram at regina.dechicco. That's DECICCO. Tomorrow on the podcast, you'll hear another Q&A with our co-host from a taping of The View a
yes.
few weeks ago, where Regina asked some questions during commercial breaks. This is fantastic. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
Thank you, Regina.
Take a little time to enjoy The View.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.